This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And it's gone! A slammer for Nolan Arenado!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
What does Scott Jagow have in his forecast for Saturday? You know what? I don't even care. I really don't even care. You pack 22-plus thousand in there. You get some of those beverages flowing. No one's going to care. They put the ski coats on, the warm hats on. They're going to be good to go at Energizer Park. Hand warmers. Get it going. City's going to be hosting Colorado on Saturday night at 7:30 on Y98FM. And joining us in studio, this is a first for sports on a Sunday morning, but certainly not the last, is Sporting Director Lutz Vandensteel. It is great to see you.
Good morning. Yeah, it's great to see you and not to hear you all the time. You know, it's better to have an eye contact as well.
This is much better. This was something we discussed after the Energizer Park news conference, actually. I was very honored to be asked to host that. And we said, well, why not? Let's go in studio. You suggested it. We talked about it. I like it. You're right down the street. If I turn around here, this building is blocking me, but I would see Energizer Park from here.
Yeah, I could just walk down. It wouldn't be that cold, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a little chilly out there. So let me get your thoughts on that first off, since I brought it up. Playing in this kind of weather, because it will be frigid. It looks like it's going to be down into the teens on Saturday. I'm not sure that's going to stop the crowd, but what is it like to play in that kind of temperature?
You know, when we opened the stadium against Bayer Leverkusen 2022, it was just as cold, and I think people enjoyed every minute of it. It's the first game of the season. I think the wait was so long that it doesn't really matter how cold or hot it is, or if it rains down or snows down, dogs and cats. I think everybody wants to be there and see that first game. And that's the same for the players. You know, I think once you kick off, you don't feel any cold, or you just want to be out there and win. The only thing is Colorado. I think they're used to a lot of snow and a lot of cold. But as I said, it doesn't matter. It's the first game of the season. We prepared a long time. We prepared really hard. We worked hard on the field and in the tactical room as well. And we can't wait to get it going.
How is training going? You've been in California.
Yeah, we've been in California, and actually we are still in California, only I'm not, because of the weather condition. We left the team back actually in California to have some proper field conditions for the next few days. And then we have our last sessions here in St. Louis when it comes towards the weekend. So we've flown with a few players today to have our season opening event in the factory in Chesterfield. And I think, the preparation was really good. In Florida, we did struggle with the weather. It was really cold for Florida. It was raining. It was about to snow. It didn't, but about to snow. California was perfect. The field conditions are great. The weather is always good. And we having the opportunity to play against good MLS teams out there. So you know roughly where you stand. Results don't really matter. You know, you want to try things, you want to figure out what to do, how to do, who can play what as a secondary position. So lots of little bits and pieces, and it has been great.
I'm sure it has, and it's a different look under new coach Olaf Melberg. How has that been in terms of implementing what he wants to do and what you want to do?
Yeah, you know, when we signed him, it was pretty clear that we will do what, not what I want to do, but what the club wants to do. So when I came here in 2020, we had a clear philosophy, we had a clear DNA of what we want to do, and that's what we did from day one. But nothing is completely set in stone, and there is obviously always a little wiggle room in how you want to implement it. I always say there is the non-negotiables, and that is the hard work, that's the pressing, that's the high intensity. But when it comes to formation, when it comes to different, as I said, different details, then the coach should have that freedom. And in the end of the day, it's about winning football games. So we still believe in our identity. We believe in that what we did in the first 2 years. And we just want to improve every year, bit by bit, to actually achieve that, what the city wants us to achieve, and that is being a strong contender, a strong team in the MLS.
You always had this style of being aggressive, pushing it, I would say, pushing the issue and trying to apply that pressure. Is that still what City is all about?
Still the same. The only thing which we adjusted was, and I think for us, the summer window was the big one. You know, we added six players, and I would say most of them, or nearly all of them, are big impact players. You saw how Hartl, Teuchert, Becher, how they really impacted when they came. So it was now not to just, again, pump in five, six, seven new players just for the sake of it. We just wanted to be smart in adding two, three players, which in the detail makes us better, where we see room of improvement, where we see little gaps. And I think we did that with Timo Baumgartl and Konrad Wallem. And let's see the next few days. You know, there is still quite a few weeks before you closing the transfer window. And if there is something coming in or something going out, that's never decided. But obviously we try to keep the group together like it is right now. So nothing really changing from the idea, from the style of play. But I think you will see us defensively a bit better organized. And you will see us attackingly just the same as we did it the years before.
How do you view the center back position right now?
You know, I have some good numbers for you. I didn't even have to write it down because they kept me awake for like 6 months last year. I mean, we played 11 different center backs. And we played a back four. So there's only two starters as center backs. We played 11 different ones. And I don't even know the different pairings we had. It was a crazy situation last year with too many injuries. We moved players in, we moved players out. And I think now we are definitely not thin on the center back position. We have six, seven nominal center backs. But I think we also need that year, not just simply because of fitness reasons, but because the way we play. And for us, I think the centre-back position is the key to get stability on there, to get a certain consistency as well. And with Nielsen, a very experienced player, Kessler, for me, one of the top defenders in the league, now also Timo Baumgartl, but also the other guys who were here, like Yarrow and Hibbert, I think we have a really, really good cover there in all areas. And I think Roman Bürki, he's probably smiling at home right now and knowing that we're having a better structure when it comes to our defensive setup.
Is he your leader? Could you ask for a better leader than Roman Bürki?
He's definitely our leader. He's our captain. You know, he's the face. But you know, I believe strongly, and regardless how good Roman is, and he's the best in the business, we need more than one leader. We need players who are not just good when the game is flowing. We need players who really like get in there when things are not going well, who say something to the players, who be active in the changing room, who keep communication, not just with the players, but also with the coaches. And if that all comes down to just the goalkeeper, who is pretty far away from the rest of the action, I think then we are not in a good shape. So we need players who step up, we need players who want to lead, but at the same time we need to create leaders. You know, we have lots of younger players who have that potential, and I think that's up to me and up to the coaching staff to create our own leaders within our own ranks.
You have a handful of players who have actually played together since they were very young. is that not only good on the pitch, but also behind the scenes? Maybe they'll hold each other accountable. They don't mind saying what they need to say.
No, it's great. I mean, you know, the German section, they all played together in the under 21 national team 6-7 years ago. They all did well. The guys know each other. Some of them also played together club football for many years. So it helps with the understanding. But then at the same time, we are watching also very closely that it doesn't create some groups because you don't want to have smaller groups of players who always stick together. And we have a group of really nice people. I always say they are nice boys.
Yeah.
And they mix really well. So it doesn't matter where you're from or if you knew each other before. There is a really good momentum and a really good atmosphere within the team. But then again, you don't always want to be just nice, because if you're only nice, people step on you. So when it comes to be on the field, we sometimes also need to be not that nice and actually show our teeth, get out there, fight and bite and scratch if we have to. And I think that's something where we worked a lot on also in recent weeks, that you know, not just be a good group of people, but fight to survive. And we have a clear goal this year. I think Carolyn was very clear a few months ago before Christmas that she said nothing other than making the playoffs is acceptable. And 100% agree. You know, we have a good team. We have I think we gelled very well. We showed towards the end of the season what we are capable of. And then again, touch wood. Don't know if this is a wooden table, but I just touched it. That we don't have that crazy run of injuries like last year. And if we keep our players fit, then I'm a strong believer that we will have a good season.
The door frame and window frame behind you is wood. If you want to hit that. But I remember maybe you need somebody to pick you low in the conference or pick you towards or last. I felt that really was a big deal. I know I asked you about this last week, but I'll ask it again. The edge that you felt at that time, that there was some fire in City. They did not like that. You felt disrespected as this little expansion team that was just going to come into big bad MLS, and you did some damage. Do you need to manufacture that again? How do you do that?
You know, I'm not a big believer in looking at the predictions. I usually ask John Gasparoni to do that for me. And unfortunately, make the players angry by looking at prediction won't work, because everybody sees us pretty decent this year. Mm-hmm. But I agree, you know. I mean, I'm looking at San Diego right now, which is the new expansion teams, and we saw them play now in Coachella quite a few times, and nobody took them really serious. But yesterday, that all changed. They beat Red Bull, the finalist from last year, 6-0. Preseason game, but still, score 6 goals against Red Bull. You know, you must have a good team. So I'm pretty sure they got angry early on when people don't take them serious. If I think back there 2 years ago, it was great for us, because not just me, everybody felt underrated, everybody felt disrespected, everybody felt, well, I'm going out there and I show you what we can do, you know. And looking at the team we started in that first 2-3 games, and looking at our roster now, there is not that many players left, because we did overperform in year one simply because everybody wanted to prove everybody else out there outside St. Louis wrong. And I think for this year it's a similar thing. You know, we underperformed last year, and regardless of any excuses we can make with injuries or whatever it was, we didn't achieve the goal which we had. And let's be fair, looking at numbers, if you win the Western Conference in year one and you don't make the playoffs in year two, nobody really cares about what were the circumstances. The only thing what people care about is that we didn't make it. And that's my opinion as well. So I'm still pretty much pissed off about it, you know. And I think it's a new year. It's up for us to prove ourselves new again. And I think that's the beauty, Tom, that bringing in a new head coach who doesn't really care who did what before, because he gets his own impressions in a 6 weeks or 7 weeks preseason. I think that is the way players have no choice to sit on the sofa, smoke a cigar and say, well, I was great 2 years ago. Olaf Melberg, he can't care less. He wants the team to be successful. He doesn't care about names or goals from the years before. He cares about that, what he sees right now and in preseason. So everybody needs to prove themselves. Everybody needs to show themselves at their best. And, you know, it's a nice saying. You only make a first impression once. And that's the same thing when you bring a new coach. Nothing else counts anymore. And I think that's kept the players on the toes during preseason.
This is Lutz Vandensteel, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC. We'll take a quick break. John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, is going to join us a little bit around 11:30. Bernie Mix is 11:45. We'll come back, finish with Lutz right after this. You are listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday Morning. Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We'll take you to the bottom of the hour with Lutz Vandensteel, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC, joining us in studio. We really appreciate this. I just love what you've done to St. Louis just in general in reviving the soccer culture. And I know it's not just you, it's the whole organization from Carolyn Kendall and the Taylor family all the way down. But there is something special going on. People not just talking about city, and we see that. We see the logo, we see the banners, we see people coming to the games, but soccer is been given a new life. You have youth soccer players in this town that now see a professional team playing at this high level, and the dream of stepping on the pitch and playing for your hometown team is real. It is real, and I can see it already. Do you feel that when you're around talking about the academy?
Yeah, I mean, 100%, you know, because to be honest, to go back when I came, it was I am just really thankful to Carolyn and the Taylor family to give me the opportunity to build something from scratch on an idea which was based on my experience I had from playing all over the world, but also running two teams in the Bundesliga. So it was a unique opportunity. And for me, the Academy and City 2, they are simply not really looked at that much as they should be, because everybody looks at the glamour product, which is MLS. And I do understand it's a beautiful, best stadium in the country, great players, everything is top level. But then, you know, especially in my capacity as a sporting director, I need to look into the bigger picture. So yeah, the first team is great and this is the priority. But we should always remember that a priority only can work out if we're having the right foundation set. And I put so much work to have a top academy in the country before we even kick the first ball. When it comes to the coaching style, when it comes to coaching education, when it comes to give local players opportunities, we so far didn't see it necessary to go like other teams, scout all over the country, buying youngsters and bringing them into the system in the age of 14, 15, 16. I think we have so much potential here with our local kids that we have to really nourish that and cherish that and appreciate that. And look at the way so far we performed in City 2. City 2, 3 years, twice in the final of the conference, the other time also the playoffs. So we really maximized that out, and also based on lots of youngsters. So for me, the community and the academy and everything which has to do with development is just as important as the first team, because that's where what makes a football culture. Not just if you bring in a player from Germany or from Brazil or from anywhere in the world, the local flavor is the most important one. Always remember that, because if you don't really appreciate it, people will realize that one day. It's not just a business, it's the love of the game. It's belonging together. It's a cultural thing. And I think that's exactly the values the Taylor family spoke to me the first time I met them, which I fell in love exactly with that. To be honest, that's why I came here. You know, I didn't, I mean, obviously I knew the MLS well, because I played here for a while, and I knew St. Louis a little bit, but that was exactly the moment I said, yeah, you can build something special, because it's not just about bringing in players for $25 million. There's so much more behind it. To actually have a Caden Glover or a Miggy Perez or local boys out there who also represent the country. And that have been great, you know. And then for us, college placement. Nobody talks about college placement. We have every year 15, 20 players who go to the best schools in the country. But nobody really sees it. Nobody talks much about it. That's players who are just on the edge to be a professional. but they sometimes choose education and they choose that route. And it's brilliant to see a kid from St. Charles who never thought he will be actually playing organized football, playing now for Virginia on a full scholarship, that actually I get goosebumps because that's an achievement. And if we care, people out there in the community, they realize that the club cares not just about the Saturday game life against Miami with Messi, but there is so much more to it when it comes to football than just that one moment every week. There's a lot of stuff happening, and yeah, they're definitely very excited for the future.
As you take on Colorado on Saturday at Energizer Park, you have an event coming today. This is a party at the factory that is about to go down. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, we were supposed to be with the whole team. So sorry, guys, we couldn't make it, unfortunately, because of the weather. But we did fly. Some of our top players are here. Olaf Melberg will be here. Yeah, I will have a little look as well. I think Carolyn will join. Diego, the president, will be here as well. So there will be, we talk about, obviously, about the season. We talk about the new kid. So there is, I think, a lot of fun for the fans out there. And I know it's sold out. But that, again, it shows a week before the game. Freezing cold out there, like my ears are still burning from walking up the stairs, but people will show up and getting out there. You know, and that I told you many times, the unconditional support, that is something which St. Louis makes, for me, playing in so many clubs and working so many clubs, that unique kind of feeling I have to the city, because if the Blues doing well or not so well, people are there. The Cardinals are playing, people always support. And the same feeling we have here, there is always this love of the game and this unconditional support. So, you know, it's a unique sporting culture, and I'm very proud actually to be here and be part of it.
There is no sports region in the country like ours. There are some that may claim to be the best. We have claimed to be the best. There's nothing quite like our experience and what our fans are all about. Sunday, 2-4, that is today at the factory. It is an event that, as you mentioned, is sold out, the limited capacity. So next time around, you're going to have to get in there. Taylor Twellman's going to MC. That's pretty awesome. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to carrying. We are honored to carry your games on Y98FM. We love carrying them and all the programming here on KMOX. It's a treat to have you in studio. Let's do this again.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lutz Van and Steele, sporting director, St. Louis City SC. A little extended visit in studio with us. Coming up next, we go back down to Jupiter, Florida. The Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, will be with us. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. Welcome back to the show. We're going to be joined by John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, momentarily. Again, the big story today, Nolan Arenado has returned to the Cardinals. He never left. He has arrived at spring training and is going to be officially working out as a full squad with them tomorrow, but he's already gotten in there, I'm sure, taking some rips and had a little fun with his teammates, and we'll be talking about that and more with Mo in just a bit. Wanted to get you updated on a couple of other things that we've talked about. If you want to go back and listen to the program, Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Billikens, was with us at 10:30. We talked about their loss to Loyola on Friday and previously to George Mason, what that means for them in the standings and how they think about themselves moving forward. You can just go to the Odyssey app and our Sports on a Sunday Morning podcast page. We'll have that as well. At 10:15, we had Matt Pauley reporting from Jupiter, Florida. 10:45, it was Kenny Wallace on the Daytona 500. Coverage on Fox begins in just about an hour. Lutz Vandenstiel just spent a great deal of time with us in studio. It was great to have Lutz. We had a nice visit with him in studio, the sporting director for St. Louis City SC. They open their season coming up on Saturday at City Park. And what a Saturday it is going to be. An incredible day of action, and you're going to have City playing in downtown St. Louis, in downtown West. You're going to have a matchup between the Blues and Winnipeg just down the road from there at Enterprise Center at 6 o'clock while City plays at 7:30. And before that, the Billikens will be playing Rhode Island at 1:30. And that's going to be quite a matchup there for the Billikens playing in the A-10. So three games in town. Meantime, Mizzou plays at Arkansas. Illinois plays at Madison Square Garden against Duke. And after all of that, you're going to have the Cardinals playing before all of that. They're going to start the day. The Cardinals will be on KMOX playing the Marlins. When we come back, John Mozeliak on KMOX.
Here's Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. Joining us is John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. John, I'm sorry for being 10 minutes late. We had a technical issue here in the studio. It's great to be with you. We'll just keep you for a few minutes. But Nolan Arenado arrived on campus. He never left. He's under contract with the Cardinals. This isn't like the NFL, as you mentioned in a previous media session, where you have walkouts or holdouts. He is a Cardinal. How did it go? Take me to your visit with him and how things are going for Nolan today.
Well, yeah, a couple things. I mean, obviously, it really did sort of like occupy a lot of our attention over the off season, and I think a lot of people were speculating that we would get something done, and unfortunately, we weren't able to do that. But when I say it that way, I kind of feel like what are we thinking about? Because having Nolan on the club is still exciting, and ultimately having an all-star third baseman is not the worst thing in the world. So over time we'll see how this works, but I will say this: my meeting with him this morning went great. Talked to him on the phone a few days ago, so I kind of understood that this wasn't going to be as awkward as I maybe was anticipating. And overall, I think he's happy to be back in Florida, happy to putting on his jersey, and I think he stepped on the dirt today, so he was excited about that, took some swings, looks like he's in really good shape, and I think he's highly motivated to change his career arc. So we'll see how things play out, but early impressions were very positive.
Yeah, I don't doubt his motivation. He is something else when it comes to putting a lot on his plate and preparing, and he creates a lot of firepower in the lineup, no doubt. If there is a top shape Nolan Arenado, it does obviously raise the question of the youth movement. It's a little early to start making claims as to where you're going to go there, but certainly the flexibility of moving Nolan Gorman around, I would think, would be appealing to get him the at-bats he needs.
Yeah, I think that's right. Definitely got to challenge the coaching staff to figure out what that looks like and hopefully strike that right balance. But, we went into this year knowing that we wanted to give Gorman a shot at, getting 550 plate appearances and see what we have. So guys downstairs are looking at that, trying to understand how that would play out. But overall, that's the goal, and that's what we'll focus on.
What else has your attention now that we can put that aside? What is your number one goal here in spring training from your view, John, as you look at this 2025 club?
Well, I think the key is to really get an understanding of what our lineup's going to look like, who's in center, who's in right. Ultimately, when you look back to last year, we had some offensive struggles. We had a hard time consistently putting up runs. We played in a lot of one-run games, a lot of tight games. So I think we put a lot of pressure on our pitching, on our defense, and will we have the ability to see some of these young hitters take that step forward and be that impact bat that we think they're capable of doing? And if we do, should be a fun team to watch. If we don't, then it's probably going to look a lot like last year. So hopefully some guys take that step forward and we're able to consistently score runs.
And right now, this minor league development, I am looking forward. I won't be down there until March 9th, but when I do, I do plan to roam the backfields a little bit and just kind of see how everything starts to come together. That is a long process, though, isn't it, Mo? I mean, it's not something that just – you don't just say you're going to change the way the Cardinals develop players and it just happens overnight. I mean, this is something that is going to be in the works.
That's right, and it's not an overnight fix. It's going to require time. Obviously, you're going to see a lot of new faces when you're back there because we have added a lot of new coaches. But, you know, ultimately, it's not that much different from where we once were, so I don't think it's going to look dramatically different. But, you know, leveraging technology and some of the modern innovations we've seen in the game, hopefully we can take advantage of that, even in the early returns, if you will. So I do think from that standpoint for – people that are prospect hounds and love watching how the sauce is made, it'll be a fun experience for them on those backfields.
Thank you very much for the time this morning. Sorry for being late, but as always, you come through for us on Sports on a Sunday Morning. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Tommy. See you.
See you later. President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak on KMOX. Bernie Miklas is coming next. We'll be right back from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday Morning. Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Joined by Bernie Miklas, Saliga Heating and Cooling is our sponsor of this great segment that I very much look forward to every Sunday morning. How are you, Bernie?
Doing great. Jam-packed Sunday morning. I've been listening and... As always, wonderful to be with you, Mr. Tom Ackerman.
Thank you very much. Just visited with John Mozeliak. Just a quick little, I don't want to keep him too long. We got to him a little late anyway, but, you know, a recap of his visit with Nolan Arenado. And he said, you know, maybe I went a little too far on saying awkwardness. I mean, it's fine. Look, I said early in the show, I don't know if you caught it, but I said Arenado would be ready to go if he played for the Cardinals, Red Sox, Savannah Bananas. I don't care who he's playing for. This guy is a ball player, and he's out there taking rips right now, Bernie.
Yeah, I listen. Thanks to Matt Pauly for sending all the audio, not only to Campbell X, but the little old me, too, and I appreciate that. But, I mean, Arenado's very positive about everything. And I got to say, if anyone has been listening to me, whether it be Gas House Gang, Campbell X, my own YouTube channel, I've been talking about this for 2 or 3 weeks. Like, if he comes back, there's really nothing to worry about as far as – oh, is it going to disrupt the team? Is he going to be happy? Is it going to be uncomfortable, this or that? No, because at age 33 last year, he had an offensive season that was way below his own standards, and he is determined to elevate his offense. And one thing about him, you never, ever have to doubt his hunger, determination, or work ethic. And he did a lot of things over the offseason to try to speed up his bat with, you know, by taking a lot of drills and boxing and all this stuff where, like, quickening his hands up, things like that, having explosiveness. So he showed up and he has a great attitude. And obviously his teammates love seeing him there. I listened to John Mozeliak. Obviously he's thrilled that this is all behind him for now. And listen, Tom, people can be cynical and jaded or skeptical and say, well, what do you expect them all to say? No, no, it's in Nolan Arenado's best interest to be a happy player and to have a tremendous season, because it'll restore this the idea that he is still an elite hitter and there's a lot of good life in his bat. And if whatever reason some team should want him later on, what would enhance Nolan Arenado's marketability? It would be if he performs better offensively than he did last year. I don't see the negative. They're a better team with him in the lineup than without him in the lineup. So people can be cynical all they want. That's fine. But we all thought, those of us who weren't trying to stir up controversy, we all thought that Nolan Arenado would be in his head would be totally fine if he had to come back to the Cardinals, because you just said it. No matter what uniform he's wearing, this man feels like he's got a lot to prove. And this man also wants to show these other teams that were kind of like, no thanks, I think we'll pass in terms of trading for him. He wants to send them a little Valentine as well.
I could see it in his face. I saw the video of his message to the media as well, and there is something to prove there. He's looks like he's in good shape too. He's been working hard in the offseason. Let me give you a lineup that has some firepower in it, all right? This is with Arenado in it. You tell me a hole in this lineup. Now, this isn't the lineup they're going to go with. This is the lineup I'm going with for maximum offense. Here's my lineup. Mason Wynn leads off and plays shortstop. Brendan Donovan bats second, plays left field. Wilson Contreras batting third, playing first base. Alec Burleson's the cleanup hitter. He's the DH. Nolan Arenado at third base, batting fifth. Lars Nootbaar in center field, batting sixth. Jordan Walker in right field, bats seventh. Nolan Gorman plays second base and bats eighth. And Ivan Herrera is the starting catcher, batting ninth. Now, you tell me, aside from Gorman maybe chasing some bad pitches and Walker also, where we have an issue there. That's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, it's up to those guys. Of course, this needs without saying, and I know what you're talking about. This is forecasting that all of these guys will be better, or in some cases do just as well as they did last year. But I think there's a best case scenario for all these guys. I laid that out on something I wrote recently. You can see a best case scenario that is not detached from reality, and in fact the best case scenario for each one of those guys is actually doable. It's not fantasy. So, but they have to do it. But imagine if most of those guys come through, or most of those guys, especially Walker and Gorman, get on a much more positive track under the new hitting coach Brent Brown, then this can be a really good lineup. And if Arenado can bounce back offensively, that would make it an even better lineup. And by the way, it's possible for him to do that. Tom, if you permit me, you know me, Mr. Research. I was looking back at age 32, Giancarlo Stanton for the Yankees was 14% below average offensively. He came back the next year at 34, and he was 16% above average offensively. So that's a 33 and then 34 season back to back. I wanted to find some examples of, like, you know, it can happen. A guy that was 33 and had a down year by his standards can come back the next year and do better. I've got several examples, but I wanted to leave you with that one.
That's really good. Now, I'm realistic, and I know that it's probably going to be Ciani in center or Victor Scott. That's what it sounds like, and it's probably going to be Pahe, so not a given, but Pahe is going to get a lot of time behind the plate because they like the way he handles pitchers. But that does give you a bit of a setback, I think, in terms of starting lineup. But mostly, I think they just need to be flexible again. I mean, I got to know where Thomas Tejesi is going to see some time. And I think Gorman can be moved around a little bit. It's interesting. It'll be on them this next 6 weeks. I think it draws some intrigue to spring training, quite honestly.
It does. And I just hope that, you know, a player like Victor Scott actually gets an opportunity. And, you know, they don't have it mentally in their mind, well, he's probably going to have to open the year at Memphis. Give him a full shot. See what he does. I think they're going to have to balance offense and defense. You know, I heard John Mozeliak talking down in Jupiter earlier. Ollie Marmol talking about this in Jupiter earlier. And he was just saying, you know, there's no set thing about this, you know, in terms of who to play at what position. And I think he was referring to center field. A lot of it depends on who's the starting pitcher that day. Like, for example, the Cardinals have some really outstanding ground ball starting pitchers. Well, in that case, you know, a day where really good ground ball pitchers are working, you know, at least first five innings or so, you don't need Ciani in center field as much. You just don't. You want to have your best defense in there, but you also want to have someone in center where they don't have to have the range of Willie Mays, you know, because it's not going to be as many fly balls. You know, they're going to have to be really smart about how they deploy their guys and balancing offense and defense. But with Ivan Herrera, you know me, I'm pretty rabid about this issue. What I don't understand is how they expect him to improve defensively, and he's worked really hard on it. I don't know how they expect him to improve defensively, I should say, unless he's playing behind the plate a lot. And it's no disrespect to Pedro Páez, but clearly Herrera's got much more offensive upside.
Here's a question from Bill on our YouTube page. Does Ollie make the lineup for what he wants to see or what Bloom wants to see?
Well, Bloom's not running in charge. He's not in charge, so I'm not sure why we're jumping ahead to 2026, but whatever. Listen, I'm really kind of annoying when I continue to talk about this, but I'm not sure why there is such an incredible disconnect out there about people just assuming that it's one or the other. It's like, oh, see, you know that that's coming from the front office. So you know Ollie doesn't want to do that. No, I don't know that, actually. See, Ollie's defying the front office. Uh-oh. You know, no, he's not. It's a collaborative effort. And this isn't me trying to spin something or trying to be Mr. Happy. It's not that at all. I've been hollering about this for 2 or 3 years, if not longer. The Dodgers just won the World Series, and yeah, they have a lot of talent, but they've been a great team. Listen to Dave Roberts when he talks about it. You know, they have conversations. The manager has conversations with the front office every single day, and they go over what the options are, and they reach a common agreement. I'm not sure why everyone thinks this is like, you know, some powerful executive like dictating to the manager, or the manager saying, I'm going to do what I want. The manager's job has changed dramatically. Now managers work with the front office in deciding, well, this would be your optimum lineup. What do you think? Well, I think this. They go back and forth. Why do people want to make it some kind of Waterloo moment if there is there's a lineup decision that may not be something the front office is fired up about or vice versa? It's just – analytics are here, my friends. They're not going away, all right?
I see the Bernie show. You have a number of videos on, speaking of YouTube, on this and other topics. It is pretty great to be able to subscribe to that. I'm looking forward to getting down there. It's going to be a while, but Matt Pauly is down there covering things, and we have a game on Saturday. I mean, here we go. I'm looking forward to seeing who starts that game and how this all looks. You know, Sonny Gray is back too. I don't know. I'm starting to think I need some time to kind of sort it all out, but I'm starting to think this Cardinals team is not as terrible as some may paint it to be.
I think first of all, they have their pitching staff back. They don't have Gibson or Lynn, and they're going to be, you know, Helsey's there. Fetty's better than what he showed last season. Sonny Gray's not going to allow as many home runs as he did last year. It's just history tells us that. It was kind of an outlier. They have most of their pitching back, the pitching that matters, and they have eight with our Arenado back. Let me throw the stat out there. 82.5% of the at-bats taken by this team last year are down in Jupiter with the team this year, and it's just a matter of them doing a lot better.
Wow. I'll give you this is our 30-second warning, by the way, before the news.
Sure.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, no. No, again, it's up to each guy to get better. But if, you know me, I pour through statistics and analytics and everything else. With each one of these guys, you can see a reason why they would be better. I'm not saying they will be better, but you can see a basis for believing, well, this is possible. So yeah, I think they're going to be a real competitive club. And what that means, I'm not sure yet. You know, I can't put like a win total on it.
See, I always let you finish your thought. Love you, brother.
See you, brother.
The news is next.